absolute ideas are concepts. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Absolute ideas are concepts. Are absolute ideas concepts? Well, that's what we have been led to believe. Absolute ideas are concepts because absolute ideas are ideas that share with us what we really believe about ourselves. Now, what could be an absolute idea? What could be a concept? Well, we say humanity. Humanity, well, that's a very poor concept. Let's say man. Man exempt from being human, exempt from any other thing, but just man. The creation of the form of man. That's man and woman, or man, however we want to define it. But man just created as a concept. Now, what is the absolute idea of man as a concept? Well, the absolute idea of man as a concept is that man is an expression of an idea. Man is the expression of what our divine ideas are within us, expressing outwardly in a way that is charming and delightful and worthwhile and interesting and something that we want to have. Okay, now, if this is true that mankind, man, humanity, not humanity, but man, is an expression of the divine in each of us, then the divine in each of us has a pretty similar basis. Think about this. We, here on planet Earth at least, we visualize man as being a mammal and having the attributes of being a mammal and being a rather sophisticated mammal and expressing itself in a very sophisticated manner, in a very beautiful manner. And we envision the development of this mammal in constant changing expression of growing and advancing and improving its ability to use its brain, improving its ability to use its vehicle, the body, and taking away from the body the concept that it need be ill, taking away the concept from the body that it need to be limited in any way, in planting in the concept of the being that it has the ability to think any thought it wants, which is already true, which think any thought that it wants, and it can have that as a demonstration or a revelation in its life. Now, are we willing to pay the price that living in this attitude brings? Well, as an absolute philosopher, we already sort of indicate that we will pay that price, that we will do whatever is necessary to express our absolute nature. Absolute ideas are concepts. Now, these are the concepts that you and I deal with every moment of our life. The concepts of whether something is good or bad. The concept of whether something is right or wrong. The concept of whether something is beneficial or non-beneficial. The concept of whether we have sufficiency or lack. The concept of illness or health. All these concepts with their dualistic attitudes, they are in our world. Now, we need, if we want to make a great, giant step in awareness of concept. Concept is not right and wrong. Concept is right and concept is wrong. Concept is not either right or wrong. Concept is right and wrong. It is not a matter of one leading to the other or one blending to the other as we have attempted to make it do over our lifetime. A concept is a unique, individuated expression which has nothing to do with anything which is its dualistic nature. which has nothing to do with something which is its opposite, if such could be the case. Because there is no opposite to anything. Everything exists and has its reality as itself, and it has no opposite. You see, absolute ideas are concepts. They are just pure concepts. And a concept does not have possession. A concept does not have dualism. A concept does not have the idea that one place it exists and one place it doesn't. There is a right or there is a wrongness to it. The right is whatever terminology we give to that, and the wrong is whatever terminology we give to that. You might say the right is the beneficial, the wrong is the unbeneficial. Well, those two are concepts. We deal with concepts constantly in our life. And as we deal with these concepts constantly in our life, we are drawn into sometimes making gods out of them, making principle out of the concept. And the concept is not the principle. The principle is that which manifests the concept, which reveals the concept. The principle is always there. The principle is always that concept that is, but it is not something which changes from moment to moment. Principle never changes. These are things that the more we recognize that, the more we are aware of that, the sooner we realize, hey, let's learn to appreciate that absolute ideas are concepts, and I'm going to live in the absolute. I'm going to live in unconditional love, and thereby everything I do is unconditional love. I'm going to live in harmony. Therefore, everything I do is harmony. I'm going to live in abundance. Therefore, everything. But in absolute, these things don't exist. Yes, in the absolute absolute, if one can talk in that kind of language, these things do not exist. Because you no longer think of their opposite. You no longer empower another aspect of their beingness, and you look at each one for its unique wholeness itself. If you are looking at unconditional love, you cannot look at non-unconditional love, which doesn't exist. You cannot look at that. If you are looking at poverty, you cannot look at health. You cannot look at fullness. You cannot look at abundance. If you are looking at illness, you cannot look at ill health. You cannot look at lack. You cannot look at limitation in any way. You see, training ourselves as absolute philosophers is one of the most noble gestures we could ever do in our life for ourselves or for another. Training ourselves as an absolute philosopher is one of the most exciting things that would ever come into our attention if we were intelligent enough to give it our full awareness. But we have the tendency to say it is only a concept. It is only an idea. It is only something, meaning that it does not have to be, or it may not be if we do not do the right things for it. And that is entirely correct. The absolute ideas are concepts, and they are concepts that we live every moment of our life, and they are concepts that we accept or reject. And when we accept them, we benefit from them, and when we reject them, then they are as though they do not exist. For, in fact, we have rejected them, and they do not exist in our world for us. So, every one of us could have the infinite abundance of the wealthy people of the world today. But we do not want all of the things that come with the infinite abundance of the wealthy people of the world today. For they have personal problems, they have needs that they have left unmet, they have people they have trampled on as they were coming into their wealth and as they were coming into it. You see, when we really look at this idea of absolute ideas are concepts, we come to the realization that if I treat everyone with unconditional love, no one in my world can ever recognize anything but unconditional love in my relationship to them. If I treat everyone with unconditional love, no one can have a negative attitude about me. If I treat everyone with unconditional love, no one can be contrary to me. Now, that's a little negative thinking, but let's just turn it around. If I live in unconditional love, every single experience that I have in my life is predicated upon the concept of unconditional love. It is the absolute idea of unconditional love, and it is expressing itself fully and completely in my life. If I only know unconditional love, there's nothing else that can come into my awareness. There's nothing else that can come into my experience. That's all that is. If I live in abundance, in consciousness, in attitude, in mind, as an idea, as a concept, then that's who I am. That's all that I am. Yes. Absolute ideas are concepts. Now, am I ready to take these absolute ideas and let them be 1,000,000,000,000,000,000% mine? Am I willing to let them be 100% mine? We don't have to go so largely, but 100% is total. Can I live totally in the idea that absolute ideas are concepts, and I live in the absolute concept of wholeness and perfection and right action and peace and truth and love and, oh my goodness, especially unconditional love. When I live in that idea, when I dwell in that idea, oh my goodness sakes, what else is there? This is what an absolute philosopher does. And this is what the absolute philosophers hear in the School of the Master, in the University of Philosophy, in the Absolute Monastery, do 100% of the time. If you're ready for that type of living and that type of thinking, practice it where you are first. Practice where you are first being something that appeals to you, like unconditional love. And absolutely unconditionally love yourself, absolutely unconditionally love your world, absolutely unconditionally, be unconditionally, live unconditionally, love. And you'll be an absolute philosopher. You'll be it. You'll be all that you could ever want to be, and you won't ever have to come to the monastery for that. You're welcome to come, of course, but you don't have to. When you can work with yourself to see, say, and be unconditional love, then that's all that you are. Isn't life wonderful? It's so simple and so beautiful and so easy, and it's just a matter of, are we interested enough in doing that, to do that right now in every area of our life? Whew, I am, and I love it. And when people come to me with any problem at all, I see the solution, and they say, Herb, don't you understand the problem? And I say, nope, I only see the solution. I only see the solution. Now, which do you want, the problem or the solution? Well, I want the solution, of course, but don't you understand, you got to know the problem. No, I don't have to know the problem. I don't put that in my consciousness at all, because all I know is I love you. I love you. I love you.